You're listening to The Stressless Life with Dr. Yip, the podcast about conquering your fears and overcoming anxiety. Our question for the day is, harm OCD. How do I get these murderous thoughts out of my head? I'm your host, Noah Larracy. Let's say hello to Dr. Yip.
Hello, Noah.
Dr. Yip is a licensed psychologist who's board certified in behavioral and cognitive therapy and an expert in the treatment of anxiety and OCD. So today we're going to talk about harm OCD. I guess the first question I have is this a fear of harming yourself or fear of harming other people?
Actually, it can be both. It can be a fear that you will be harmed. It can be a fear that you might potentially harm somebody else.
Okay, so it can be either one. Is there usually one that's more pronounced in your experience?
Not necessarily. There are kids and adults who have either or have both. So it's not like one is more prominent than the other.
Okay, so let's talk about the fear to yourself first. So this would be a fear that something bad is going to happen to you. Particular, is it something particularly dangerous or is it a fear you're going to be killed? What exactly is
it? It's all of the above. It's you're fearing something bad, something horrific is going to happen to you, whether by your own doing or by some accident or by some perpetrator who is going to hurt you. So there are a lot of kids who have fears of being kidnapped, of being harmed by strangers, of being harmed by criminals. So that's one aspect of it. They fear their home being burglarized, people breaking into the house. They subsequently go and check to make sure that all the doors are locked, all the windows are shut and locked, all of the drapes are shut at night, and checking to make sure that the alarms are on. So they can be checkers at nighttime, which becomes their nighttime rituals.
Okay, so checking would be the compulsion here.
Checking would be the associated compulsion, yes.
Okay, great. Now, when we talk about these fears that they have of being harmed, is this going to be someone going to have a series of fears, multiple fears, or is this going to be usually one specific fear that they have? Like, for instance, the fear of being kidnapped.
OCD rarely occurs with just one specific fear. Usually it will start with something specific, and then over time it will evolve to something else. And then before you know it, you've got a whole web of fears that are entangled with each other.
With kids, then, the fear of ghosts or the house being robbed is very, very common. And then the idea is that they will constantly go and check to a point where, what, they don't go to sleep, or this is going for hours and hours.
They won't go to sleep, or they don't feel comfortable sleeping alone. They end up sleeping in their parents' room. And then before you know it, you've got a 10-year-old sleeping in your bedroom who won't leave your bedroom.
Wow.
And that becomes a problem for many parents.
And then how does that show up with adults then, the harm OCD, at least the harm that something's going to happen to them?
For adults, the harm can be more real life circumstances. So adults might feel harm in terms of feeling like an earthquake might occur or a tornado might occur. So it could be a fear of natural disasters. It could be a harm of being in a plane crash, being in a car crash, or any type of catastrophic accident. It could be something as simple as being robbed on the street or being held at gunpoint. And with today, with all of the mass shootings, I've had quite a number of adults coming in with fears of being in public places where a mass shooting can take place and being in places where there will be a lot of people present, especially during holidays, and a mass shooting takes place.
And how would you differentiate harm OCD from just being a worrier, or to use a sort of slightly outdated phrase, a neurotic?
Well, if you are just worrying, it doesn't consume your mind to the point where you're constantly checking your back. You're constantly checking to make sure that you're safe. You're constantly ensuring that you won't be harmed. So people who are worriers, they pretty much are just stuck to that. They ruminate. And they are worrying about every imaginable catastrophic fear. However, they don't have the associated behaviors that serve as the compulsions. Remember, OCD, you have the obsessions, and then you also have the avoidance behaviors, or you have the checking behaviors, or you have any type of escape or safety behaviors to prevent the harm from actually occurring or prevent the obsession from actually coming true.
So someone with harm OCD will go out of their way with certain behaviors to try to assure themselves that the harm is not going to happen.
Yes. Whereas a person who is just suffering from generalized anxiety, who is a worrier, will do just that. They will just worry and worry and worry and worry. It might not stop their lives. They might continue to go on and be in public places and engage in activities that might pose a threat. However, they won't be engaged in the escape compulsive behaviors that we often see in OCD.
Okay, before we get into the compulsive behaviors, I want to talk about the fear that you're going to harm someone else, because this is like a more extensive version of harm OCD.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So this is where you have a thought that you might actually hurt someone.
Yes.
Tell us how that shows up. This is very interesting.
Well, harm OCD can occur with kids as well as adults who have thoughts where the images portray them hurting someone else, whether it's a child pushing his parents down the stairs or an adult stabbing their pets or parent who is molesting their child. Harm OCD is basically when you have mental images that pose as, that depict you as the perpetrator and the trigger of harm to somebody else or something else.
And these can obviously be very disturbing for the person having these thoughts, right?
Well, yes, it is very disturbing, which is why it's OCD. If it's not disturbing, then that in itself would be disturbing, right? I think what classifies it as OCD is you have to remember people with harm OCD have these intrusive, unwanted obsessions, which means that they don't like the thought. It's not like they want to have the thought. In fact, having thoughts of harming other people, even random strangers, brings up a lot of guilt, brings up shame, brings up disgust. And because they feel these emotions, these intense negative emotions, they add these unnecessary judgments on themselves, which actually makes OCD even worse.
So you have these thoughts in your head in which you're doing something terrible, and they're coming at any time. So what
yes.
do you do? What kind of behaviors would you do to then make that thought go away? What are some compulsions that go along with it?
Well, the compulsions would be anything to undo the bad thought. It could be something as relevant as checking to make sure that you haven't run over anybody with your car. It could be, in that scenario, turning your car around and going to check to make sure there's not a dead body around. It could be you checking for evidence of blood that you've committed. You could be checking the news to make sure that there hasn't been any crime committed near where you've been, because just in case you committed a crime that you didn't even have any awareness about. It could be even trying to undo the thoughts by reversing the thoughts. I think we talked a little bit about that in the previous episode. So what some people might do is they will attempt to sequence and erase the thought by kind of like if you were rewinding a movie, right? And the images are going backwards in order to reset your mind. It could be even praying. Prayers become compulsive rituals in order to undo this guilt to cleanse your mind from having committed this horrible thought. I want to stress, though, that we've all had bad thoughts. We've all had thoughts of committing a certain crime or something that is forbidden.
Mine are particularly abominable.
Well, I'm not going to ask for details. The difference, though, is that for those of us without OCD, when you have a thought, you're able to dismiss it and go, oh, well, that was a silly thought, and you can move on with your life. For a person with OCD, having that thought is so disgusting, is so shameful, that they start adding these features onto their own identity as if it's part of themselves. So it's like asking, wow, I just had that horrible thought. Why would I have a thought of hurting a stranger? And what does that mean about me? I must be a horrible person in order to have that thought. And of course, their natural reaction is to try not to have the thought, right? It's to try not to think about the images. And we know what happens when you try not to do something.
It actually increases the thought from occurring.
Yes. Don't think of the yellow duck. What happens? You're thinking of the yellow duck even more. Don't think of having chocolate. What are you doing? You want chocolate even more, right? That's what happens when we purposely focus our attention onto not thinking about something. It doesn't work. So for people with OCD, with harm OCD, when they are trying not to think of the thought, guess what? The thought comes back even more. Well, wow, now this is definitely not acceptable. What does that mean about me? I'm trying not to think of the thought, and the thought comes back even more so. That definitely must mean I'm a horrible person. That definitely means that I need to be put in jail, I need to be handcuffed, that I need to be rid from society. So the uncomfortable feelings of shame and guilt is magnified to the point where this person might actually seclude themselves away from the public in order to protect the public from themselves. And this is how devastating people with harm OCD can get.
And there have been some unfortunate cases where patients with harm OCD have told their therapists certain thoughts that they've had, and the therapists have not been trained in knowing OCD and have called child services, right?
Oh, yes. The unfortunate reality is that there are many, many clinicians out there and therapists who are not trained in OCD. And even if there are some therapists who have some experience working with people with OCD, the reality is that there are so many different varieties of OCD. It can come in so many different forms. And harm OCD is one of those where there is a lot of mistaken perceptions about. And even many of my colleagues who have some idea of what OCD is, who have some experience, can get caught up by, well, does this mean it's reportable? Is this Tarasov? Do I need to report this to the police? Do I need to report this to Child Protective Services? Now, you have to remember, people with harm OCD do not want to commit these crimes, do not desire to act out their thought. They're having these thoughts, and by them trying not to think of the thought actually makes them come back even more, and therefore it doesn't warrant Tarasov. It doesn't warrant a report to Child Protective Services because they're not actually acting out their thoughts. And in fact, they're trying everything they can to prevent the thoughts from coming to fruition. So what we have to remember is, if there's not an intent, there's not a plan, there are no means, then this is really just a thought. And we've all had such forbidden thoughts, right? A thought is a thought is a thought is a thought. Unless there's action behind the thought, how is that harmful?
So you're referring to the fact that clinicians, we have a responsibility, we actually have a legal responsibility to warn, it's called a duty to warn. We have to warn the police or possibly other victims if we get some threat from a patient in session.
That's right. That's what TerrorSoft is. It's we have a duty to warn specific people if we know that a threat will come to fruition or there's a high chance that the threat will come to fruition. Because otherwise, none of our thoughts become private, right? We go to therapy to talk about what we think about. And sometimes what we think about, actually many times what we think about, isn't the purest thought, right? That's probably why we go to therapy to begin with. And just because you have a thought that is unpure, that involves content that might be immoral, unethical, or illegal, it doesn't mean that you are actually going to commit that thought. A thought is just a thought. It is unrelated to an action unless you have a plan and means and intent to carry out this thought.
This is how you differentiate OCD from schizophrenia or other forms of psychosis.
Yes, absolutely. A person with schizophrenia or psychotic disorder actually believe that their thoughts are true and actually believe that the thoughts will happen. They aren't able to differentiate the thought from reality. However, a person with OCD have awareness, have insight that the thought is a thought and that they don't desire to carry out the thought. However, they can't help the thought from intruding into their mind. Why? Because they are actually putting attention into the thought itself by trying to get rid of it. Just the same as my example earlier. Don't think of chocolate. What are you doing? Thinking of chocolate. What if I said, well, you can't have chocolate for the rest of this week? I bet you're going to want to have chocolate every single day this week, even though you're not really a chocolate connoisseur to begin with.
We talked about some of the compulsions. You talked about checking to make sure you haven't run someone over. Would they also be looking for reassurance from people a lot?
Oh, yes. Yes. Reassurance is definitely a very common compulsion that crosses many varieties of OCD, especially harm OCD. So people with harm OCD will be asking their loved ones and friends, sometimes even strangers, if they've done something wrong. Has something bad occurred? Have they seen anything in the news? Have they seen any crime occurring on the internet? And they will ask these questions in hundreds of different ways. However, it's still the same question.
And they just want to make sure that they're not bad people and they haven't done something.
They want to make sure that they haven't committed the act, that the thought hasn't come to fruition.
But unfortunately, we know that the reassurance, it works in the short term, but not for very long.
That's right. We know that reassurances are just the same as compulsions, that you can reassure the person. However, the doubt still exists. And there's no way of getting rid of the doubt with a reassurance. So therefore, the person will still have to doubt whether they have actually committed this immoral act and continuously ask the same question in hundreds of different ways and annoy the heck out of you.
Indeed. So let's talk about treatment for harm OCD, because I think just as if the thoughts are kind of very interesting, the treatment for this, I think, is sometimes the most interesting, because mm-hmm. we get to do some pretty wild, interesting, and unconventional things in session.
Yes.
Why don't you talk a little bit about some examples?
Well, in a nutshell, at the Renewed Freedom Center, we do exposure and response prevention therapy, which is the evidence-based therapy for OCD. And in exposures, what we are exposing people to are their obsessive fears. By learning to confront your fears, you're learning that the fear isn't valid, that it might exist in your mind. However, the fear in itself is actually not that threatening. And you unlearn that you have to engage in a escape compulsive behavior to get rid of the thought. Just by doing absolutely nothing, your thoughts have to decrease on their own. So with harm OCD, what we would actually be exposing you to is the thought that you're having. So if you're having thoughts of molesting a child, we're going to be purposely having thoughts of molesting a child within a safe, contained place. If you're having thoughts of stabbing your parents, well, we're purposely going to have thoughts of stabbing your parents. If you have thoughts of pushing your dog down the stairs, we're purposely going to have thoughts of pushing your dog down the stairs.
How then would we get the patient to think thoughts about, for instance, stabbing their parents?
Oh, well, initially they will refuse. They will put on their brakes and refuse because that is inherently what they're trying to avoid. They're trying to avoid having the thoughts, which to me mean that they are a bad person. And that is exactly why we have to have the thoughts, why we have to expose them to their own thoughts. Because the goal is to think of these thoughts again and again, again and again and again, repetitively, to the point where the thoughts lose their meaning. And when the thoughts lose their meaning, the significance of whatever the thought means to you will lose its meaning as well. So if having a thought mean that you're a bad person, then when we're overexposing you to the thought repetitively and the thought starts to diminish, the meaning of you being a bad person for having the thought also starts to diminish.
And sometimes don't we bring pictures or photos or weapons into the session?
Yes. I remember I've had patients where I asked them to carry a hunting knife with them, and they're carrying their hunting knife with them all over the place. They have no intention of using it. In fact, what a lot of people with harm OCD do is actually try to avoid sharp objects because they feel that they might actually use them to hurt somebody. So we ask them to purposely carry around their hunting knives or scissors or whatever the object is that they're avoiding. We will purposely have someone who has a harm OCD about running over people drive. We just want you to drive on surface streets where there are a lot of people. We might take you to an area where there are a lot of pedestrians so that we can drive and you can expose yourself to driving and not have to check to make sure that you didn't run over somebody. We might show pictures of babies being harmed because that's what you fear. You fear of harming a baby. And I know there are a lot of parents out there right now who are probably cringing at that thought. However, we have to remember, as long as we are avoiding our thoughts, what we're doing is giving the thoughts credence. What we're saying is these thoughts have meaning and they're real. And the reality is, are the thoughts valid? Yes, they're valid. Do they represent reality? Not necessarily. And that's the whole point of why exposures work and why exposures are necessary when you have such intrusive, morbid thoughts.
Well, I sure feel relief because some of my thoughts, as I said, are not so good. I think the key point here is that if someone listening to this is suffering from harm OCD, that they should definitely seek out a professional and not be ashamed of the thoughts or be afraid that they're somehow going to be judged for having them. That's very, very normal that there is treatment, right?
I would say that's really important for them to seek out an expert with OCD. It's really important for them to seek out an expert who treats OCD. And sufferers can find therapists who have a lot of experience in treating OCD through the International OCD Foundation's website, which is iocdf.org. They can also find a therapist through the Anxiety and Depression Association of America, which is adaa.org. And they can also find a therapist through the therapist directory website of the Association of Behavioral and Cognitive Therapy, which is abct.org.
Great. Thanks so much, Dr. Yip.
You're so welcome, Noah.
Thank you for listening to the Stressless Life Podcast. You can join the discussion and find more information at thestresslesslifepodcast.com. Please write to us with questions and comments at podcast@thestresslesslife.com. Until next time, stay stressless.